always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Regard to the question regarding the family, I'm extremely proud of my son Hunter. He has overcome an addiction. He's one of the brightest, most decent men I know, and I am satisfied that I'm not going to do anything. I said I abide by the jury decision, and I will do that, and I will not pardon him.
Chris, there's nothing bright or decent about Hunter Biden, is there?
I guess those are one of the things you have to say about your drug-addled, drug-deadbeat son who has children with prostitutes and has sex with furry animals the background of the picture.
When you lose Michael and you're left with Fredo, I guess that's what you have to say, right?
Exactly.
A little Godfather reference there. Welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show. It is June the 13th, 2024. Happy Thunderdome Thursday. We've definitely been in the Thunderdome today. Very busy. Lots of news stories. That's why you should always have us on wherever you may be. You can take us with you. Folks, your phone is your radio. Yes. And easier. It's easy peasy. All you have to do is download our app, the News Talk STL app. That's available on the iPhone store, at the Android store. It's available on every store. All you got to do is download it to your phone and you press one button and then we are live and local with you wherever you might be, anywhere around the world. You can Bluetooth that to any speakers you may have or just listen to it on your telephone and you can carry us with you. You can also watch us. We have a ton of people watching and streaming us worldwide as well. We have listeners near and far. Want to give a big shout out to everybody on the Facebook chat today. I know we've got Amy on there and Jason. Hello, gang. How y'all doing? Thanks for following us on Twitter, Rumble, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Newstalkstl.com is where you can find all this information. Katie sent out the newsletter yesterday. It was chock full of great information, as always, including our two awesome events coming up. We talked about the Saving America 2024 event, which is on Tuesday, June 25th. If my math is correct, that's barely 12 days away. The debate watch party, 2 weeks. 2 weeks from today, Chris and I will be out at Johnny's Hideout in High Ridge, broadcasting live from 4 to 6 p.m. on the Sunset Stage. We'll be in the cool confines, Chris, of the Sunset Stage because it's got a lot of shade there.
You know, I'm starting to worry. Now, the back patio to the stage at Johnny's, there's a lot of space there. A lot of space.
Yes.
I think we're going to be packed.
We are.
On this debate night.
It's going to be a blast.
That whole back patio is going to be just filled with folks.
Everybody come out, watch us at the show. Come up and say hello to us. We'll take a photo with you, whatever you might want to do. And then after the show is over, we'll pack up the gear. We'll head inside to the wonderful confines of the massive complex inside. We're going to be taking over most of Johnny's Hideout, and we're going to be turning all the televisions, the nearly 40 TVs, onto one channel. We'll be watching the debate watch party, and it'll be a lot of fun, Chris, to be with all of our friends who listen to us every day here at News Talk STL Nation. We'll be cheering and jeering along with everybody for the presidential debate. That's going to be a fun evening.
It is.
It's going to be a wild evening.
It is.
Nobody has any idea what's going
to
happen.
I am so looking forward to seeing all of our friends at a debate watch party. This is, as NBC, used to say back in the day, must-see TV.
Mm-hmm. Sponsored by our good friends at Freedom Principle Missouri, the St. Louis Young Republicans, and Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning. Two great events, Tuesday the 25th in St. Charles, Thursday the 27th in Jefferson County. Two great events. Join us for one or both of them. We'd love to see you at all of them as we gear up and get ready for the August 6th primary here in Missouri and then the November general election. What is that? Let's see. It's mid-June already, so we've got July, August, September, October. Man, we've got we're less than 5 months out.
We need to put something up on one of these bulletin boards with just the countdown to election day.
The days till.
Yep.
You know what? We could do a little. Joey's really good with the calligraphy and the
That's
manuscript.
What we should do.
Put like a little corner there with days till the election. Joey, what do you think about that?
Countdown.
Of course. You know, Todd and I, Todd Showalter of The Right Mind Show, we were talking about making a funny cartoon calendar. You know, like we all had Far Side calendars back in the day. So, an election countdown calendar of just Joe Biden doing stupid stuff every day, falling downstairs, mumbling, asking if he could sniff kids' hairs and stuff.
Maybe too much material.
I know, only 30
days in each month.
Well, I mean, we will have a countdown for the next year as well, you know?
Joey always has interesting things on. What are you wearing today? What are we advertising for today, Joey?
I knew you were going to ask me about that. Uh-huh. You know, there used to be this, or I don't know, there's a stamp competition for ducks and birds. You ever hear that? Like the Department of the Interior, they have some
That's a very cool sweatshirt you've got on.
Yeah, there's some cool picture on the back of a hunting dog.
It's a black lab.
With a duck in its mouth.
Yeah.
And I found this. I actually stole it from some street team member at another radio station I was working at. They left it in the back of the big van. I was like, that's a cool looking hoodie. So I don't even know what I'm advertising
Winchester
for.
Hunting and, what does that say? Hunting and what?
Some shooting
and
range.
Shooting preserve. And it's a very cool quintessential picture of a black Labrador retriever holding a duck in his mouth.
With a 3-cent stamp.
There's some sort of stamp competition.
Conservation
and birds. And I know John Oliver did a big bit about it, and he tried to get some crazy bird from Australia on his stamp. But yeah, look it up. I'm not smart enough, but like we said before, I can be wearing any of your shirts for the right amount of money.
There you go.
Send them in.
Son of a veterinarian here. My father, if he's listening right now, Dr. Bill Jones, he knows what I'm going to say next. Labrador Retrievers, the best dogs on the planet. Man's true best friend. Growing up, we had nothing but black and yellow labs. They are the sweetest, kindest. They shed like crazy. There's hair everywhere, but they are the sweetest, kindest dogs. They're so well behaved. They're extremely trainable, and they're just sweet dogs.
Every year, they're the most popular breed when they do a survey of that. Labrador Retrievers.
Yeah, they're just great dogs. They're very smart dogs. They're intelligent dogs, and they're just wonderful. So yeah, we've always had black and yellow labs. My dad always said too. I don't know what the reason. I kind of know the reason. My dad would always say, "Get if you're going to have animals." Get female dogs and male cats.
I wonder, is that because my parents bought me an Irish setter when I was in eighth grade. I remember this name was Mrs. Krakow or something like that. She bred these championship dogs. Mm-hmm. And she said that. She's like, yeah, I recommend that you get a female dog.
Yeah. Female dogs.
Why is that?
I don't know. My dad's probably texting me right now. He's probably explaining it. Female dogs, male cats. Yeah. For whatever reason, that's, I don't know if it's their disposition. It's got to be like their dispositions, and so on and so forth. So there you go. There's the animal update for you on the Tim Jones and Chris Harp show. Thanks, according to producer Joey V, who inspired that segment.
Yeah. I think I know why.
Look up the federal duck stamp contest. Yeah. Go on, Chris.
I think I know why, because now I think about Max. Was actually a male, and probably the reason why she recommended a female dog, because Max every now and then would hump my leg. So I guess you don't have to worry about that with female dogs. They just go in heat.
No, you don't have to. For sure.
Max used to go to town on my leg every night.
We're like Animal Planet here this afternoon. Speaker's dumb speech coming up in a minute. I'm going to do an ode to Ed Stoyt. If you guys listen, and you guys and ladies, and you all should be listening to Vic Porcelli. You should be listening to all of our... Do you know we have six... We have six local shows, six live and local shows. They are live every single day. That's why we're number one in the region. We have the most local programming of any station in the region, and we have Dan Bongino midday. Yeah. So where are you all going to go for that?
It's not even close.
Not even close. And they're awesome programs. I mean, Larry Connors, Vic Porcelli, Mike Ferguson, Gabe Pfeiffer, Columbo and Katie, Jones and Arps, Rob Carter Show. We got them all. We got the whole tamale. And our weekend programming is second to none. You know, Randy Tobler, the Outdoors Show, the Todd Showalter Show. I heard the promo today for the what's the supernatural show we have now, Joey?
Haunted Garage.
Haunted Garage. Mm-hmm. It sounds really cool this weekend. So it's fantastic programming 7 days a week. We don't have infomercial radio on the weekend, so don't turn off the dial after things wrap up on Friday night. Keep it on through the weekend.
Yeah. I do. I know, and I'll admit, I don't listen to a lot of the station on the weekends, but I have.
I do, too.
And I have heard the best of the Porcelli Show.
Yes.
That's still on. I have listened to Showalter Show as well, because he had... Bill McClellan on a couple of weeks ago, which I love Bill McClellan.
It's really a fantastic lineup. I mean, all kudos to Jeff Allen, Joe Rush, Jim Modulin. They have built a juggernaut in less than 3 years here. This station is the look, the feel, the sound of a station that's been on the air for, you know, a decade or more. And that's because these guys have decades of experience. And we did it right the first time, and we knew we'd have to get started quickly. Thanks to all of you, because you have patronized our advertisers. You've come to our events. You've streamed us. You've shared us. And we'd love for you to keep doing that. Don't get out of the habit. I know sometimes things get to be repetitious, but continue to like and share our stuff, whether it's on Facebook or Twitter. The more you guys promote all of us, the more our advertisers get attention, and the more and the bigger and the better we can be here providing live and local conservative talk for you.
And Tim, let's not forget too, we started this radio station in the middle of a freaking pandemic.
Yeah, and arguably a recession for the last, exactly. I mean, come on, the economy is not roaring on all cylinders, but yet we are here at this station because of our devoted listeners and our amazing advertisers. Yes. We have so many amazing advertisers, and that the point has been proven this month. We had the live remote at Sugar Creek this week. We've got two freaking live experiences coming up at the end of the month. And so we couldn't be more blessed. We really couldn't be. Chris, we're going to speak to another great Chris. We're going to talk to Chris DeGaulle, who is with the Herzog Foundation, the host of the podcast Making the Leap. He recently spoke with Kirk Cameron.
Yeah.
So that's going to be interesting to talk to him about that experience. And Chris is going to be heading to Omaha, Nebraska later this week to join something very important. I love this. The Take Back Title IX Summer Bus Tour. I wonder if Riley Gaines is engaged and involved with that. I would imagine.
She should be.
Yeah, in some respects.
And it's really great timing for that, because the U.S. Olympic Committee announced that transgender athletes will not be able to participate in the Olympic trials, which is a great thing.
Sanity reigns supreme.
You know, Tim, before we forget, I almost forgot. I had to take an Uber in today. We have one car, and my wife has it today. And I met Martin, the Uber driver, who is a conservative, who is listening to the show right now. He said he will never heard of the station, but he's a conservative. He says, I will listen. He was switching to the station as I was getting out the car. So, Martin, thank you so much for giving me a ride today. And he takes his dog along with him. So his dog was in the front seat, one of the most mild-mannered dogs you ever seen in your life. Good companion.
Shout out to Martin and all the drivers. Yes. We know, Chris, there's a lot of people that make a living driving around all day long. Salesmen, saleswomen, people who are doing sales, people who are driving for a living, the Uber and the Lyft drivers. We know that you all listen to us probably more than anybody, because we help you pass the time, entertain you, inform you. So thank you to everybody who's out on the road, especially today. It's hot. And we want to thank you for taking us along. Hope your AC is pumping well.
And then one more, and another Uber driver several months ago took me to the station from the airport. He was a conservative. Mm-hmm. He connected with me on LinkedIn and Facebook. He is a dedicated listener to Newstalk SD. I can't think of his name right now, but he knows who he is. So I have converted two Uber drivers.
We need you to keep taking Uber.
Exactly. I have converted two Uber drivers to Newstalk STL, so I should get some type of prize or an extra Tootsie Roll or something.
You really should. So speaking of the Vic Porcelli Show, they coined this term EDSTOIT. It means it's an acronym. Everything Democrats say, the opposite is true. And so, and you could make that into other acronyms. Everything liberals say, the opposite is true. Everything the media says, the opposite is true. So I'm going to give you, I've got like 7 or 8 examples here of an ode to EDSTOIT. And that is the subject of today's Speaker Stump Speech.
Listen to me.
I'm very consistent. I'm a very stable genius.
It's time for the Speaker's Stump Speech, sponsored by Hanson's Tree Service at hansonstree.com.
So I'm going to give you a prime example of EDSTOIT from the same exact story with two different viewpoints. And you tell me if there's bias in the media. And then I'm going to go through this exhaustive list of items, and I could have probably, I was been jotting them down all show, as things have come to my mind, and it's proof positive that everything Democrats, liberals, the media say, the opposite is true. And the bias then is shown in the communications they deliver. And a lot of people, they swallow this hook, line, and sinker. They don't seek out Newstalk STL or Fox or Newsmax or One America News or Real America News or The Federalist or any of the awesome online publications. They just hear or see something that's pushed out by the propaganda machines in this country, and they just accept that as gospel truth. So the story we've been talking about all day, the Russian warships just kind of casually sailing by the coast of the United States. As Chris said, boy, doesn't that have echoes of a crisis that occurred previously in our nation's history, the Cuban Missile Crisis. So here is the, so she got this story, right? So how, what does ABC News say? The ABC News headline on this rather troubling situation is, Pentagon downplays Russian warships arriving in Cuba. And that was the gentlest headline I could find. Most of the left-leaning publications were like, it's no big deal, nothing to worry about. Everybody, all the conservative white nationalists are blowing this out of proportion. It was basically, why worry? What? It was like Alfred E. Newman. What, me worry about Russian warships just rolling past the United States of America? And yeah, what Steve Bucci said is true. The Russians are just flexing muscles that they largely don't have anymore, but they still have a lot of nuclear weapons. They still do have a navy. They still do have warships, and they're rattling their sabers back at us because, you know why? They can. They can, and they will. And Joe Biden's not going to do a darn thing about it except getting played by Putin like the putz that he is. On the other hand, here is the Fox News headline on this same exact story. Benjamin Hall reacts to Russian warships arriving in Cuba. A clear signal from Putin. I don't think that Fox was hyperventilating over this or losing their minds or lighting their hair on fire. They pretty much just called it what it is. It's something to be concerned about. It's not something to just casually brush off or downplay like the liberal media was doing. The liberal media does this all the time, folks. And if you're just getting your news from the legacy media networks, I love what Steve, I think Steve Bucci called them that, the legacy media in our country, then you're really actually getting propagandized. You're just being filled with propaganda with that left-leaning bias. How about all these other topics where the opposite was true? The Hunter Biden laptop. We were told in 2020 it was fake, it was phony, and even more than that, it was Russian disinformation. That point was proved to be the opposite. The opposite was true, right? Because even the government this week or last week admitted it was authentic, and they actually entered it into evidence. How about we look at all the other things on the Hunter Biden laptop? How about we look at the fact that Joe Biden and his Biden criminal crime family was likely mortgaging, selling, transferring all sorts of aspects of U.S. foreign policy to the highest bidder around the globe, whether they were our enemies or our allies. The border situation. For the first 3 years of the Biden administration, we were told, and the media doubled, tripled down on this, said we were all a bunch of xenophobic, white, racist nationalists. The border was, we were told by the Biden administration, was closed and secure. It's chaotic. It's a catastrophe. And now even Joe Biden, with his executive order last week, his fake phony executive order, admitted as such. The two tiers of justice, right? The media on the left want you to presume that justice is even and fair, equal, and blind in this country. It's supposed to be, but it's definitely not. Just look at the difference in treatment between the media and the cases themselves between Trump's business record. Trump commits a business records violation. He gets 34 freaking phonies, or 34 freaking phony felonies leveled against him. Hunter Biden commits a gun crime, and all they could come up with was four. Okay? I'm being a little facetious here, but I think the point is well proven. The economy and inflation. We've been told for the last 3 years there is no inflation. It's transient. You're just making it all up. Meanwhile, the inflation report came out yesterday with all the consumer goods. You're talking 20% at a minimum for all the goods we have to purchase every day at the grocery store and the gas station, up to 50 and 60% over the last 3 years. Over the last 3 years, fuel and food has been escalated from 20 to 50%, and it's not going down. Biden is a genius behind the scenes, they want to tell us. Wait a minute. Why is he a genius behind the scenes and in front of the scenes? He's doing weird things on stages. He's trying to sit in invisible chairs. He's shaking hands with people who aren't there. He goes completely catatonic during a June 19th celebration, so on and so forth. Anti-Semitism versus support for Israel. Everything about the Israel-Hamas war is an ode to Ed Stoyt. And I could go on and on and on, but we're way out of time, so I'm going to have to wrap it up. Folks, there's reality, And then there's the propaganda that you're fed every single day. And that's why you need to come here. A little advertisement for our station. Because, yes, do we have a center-right conservative lens by which we view the world? We do. But I think it's much more grounded in reality from what you're getting elsewhere. And that's the speaker stump speech for today.
Cannot agree more. Just like we said on the Judge and Justice show, I think, with Mike Carter, we don't try to hide the fact that we have views and they are center-right, right-leaning. But we don't try to say that we're unbiased and we're straight down the middle. And
we're just honest about it.
And I think that's what radio listeners, TV viewers appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
You tell us your views, be honest about it.
Amen to that. That's Chris Arps. I'm Tim Jones, producer Joey V on the Wheels of Steel. We'll be right back with Chris DeGaul, member of the Herzog Foundation, 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
At Mesa Public Schools' last board meeting, governing board member Rachel Walden introduced an amendment that would essentially ban pride flags on all school campuses.
The American flag should be sufficient.
It's not just pride, but also flags, shirts, and signs related to Black Lives Matter and political candidates. Walden, who is currently suing MPS for its policies regarding trans students, says she wants the district and those who attend to focus on academics, not political messages or activism.
Well stated indeed. Welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. It is 5:32 in the PM. Let's get right to our next guest. He is Chris DeGaul, member of the Herzog Foundation, host of the podcast Making the Leap. And he can be found at ChrisDeGaul.com. And also, we're going to talk about a lot of stuff that you can also look at for yourself and check out even further at ReedLion.com. Chris, good afternoon. Welcome back to the program.
How you doing?
Good.
Talk to you, sir.
Take your sunglasses off because we know you've been speaking to the stars, so you're a big shot now.
Yes, you know me. I'm wearing an ascot and a smoking jacket by the pool.
Yes. Well, of course, Chris Arps here in the studio is talking about Chris DeGaul's recent conversation with Kirk Cameron. I think that's coming out tomorrow, right, Chris? Tell us a little bit about that experience. We don't want to give the whole thing away, but give us some teasers to encourage people to check that out. What'd you guys talk about?
Well, first of all, may I just tell you, it's always risky when you take your wife from the 80s. I, too, am from the 80s. You know, we're of a certain age. Kirk Cameron was on posters in young women's rooms when he was the star of Growing Pains. So when you take your wife to meet Kirk Cameron, that's always kind of dicey anyway. You know?
I love it.
Boy, he was just tremendous. I know you guys are probably familiar with his work as an evangelical and his commitment to the love of the Lord. He has poured his heart and soul into not just raising six adult children now, which is kind of amazing to look at him. I mean, he doesn't, you know, he ages well, I'll tell you that. I want whatever he's taking.
But, no kidding.
We flew down to College Station, Texas, where they were shooting a brand new children's television show. He's partnered with Brave Books. I know you guys have talked with maybe some of the authors or talked about this company. They are doing tremendous work creating alternative children's books. They partnered with folks like Riley Gaines and Sean Spicer and Kevin Sorbo and others. Alternatives to not only the traditional secular children's books out there that we all have talked lots about, clouding our public libraries, but also creating this new children's television show called Adventures with Iggy and Mr. Kirk. And they brought in a master puppeteer from Sesame Street. They've kind of modeled it. They'll even tell you they modeled it a lot after Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And their goal at Brave Books is to create a new wholesome television show for kids. So we were invited down to the set to take a tour and interview Kirk and a couple of the other celebrities, Lee Allen Baker, who I don't know if you know her work. I must confess I didn't either. My kids knew her from a show called Good Luck Charlie on Disney years ago, and they thought that was... See, Kirk Cameron is for we old heads, the big star, and then this woman, my kids said, you got to talk to the mom from Good... I didn't even know who she was. She's lovely. And it's a two-part episode. The first one comes out tomorrow, and then part two comes out on next Friday.
Excellent. Chris, as you know, June is Pride Month, and we're all going to be inundated all this month with rainbow flags and all of that. And you remember back in June, LGBT activists at New York City's annual drag parade said, "We're here, we're queer, and we're coming for your children." A startling story that I saw the other day, it said in Maryland's largest public school district, internal data from 2022 showed a 582% increase in just 2 years in students who identify as gender nonconforming. It looks like they're winning, Chris.
Yeah, I will say, and I'm trying to remember the pediatric organization. You guys probably saw the story this week that came out vociferously against monkeying around medically.
American Medical
Association.
Children
and minors. That's, I think it was, Pediatric Association. But what I am happy about is all of Europe, who were about a decade ahead of us on this madness, have reversed course and said this was a terrible mistake and virtually outlawed it in most of Europe. And boy, you'd think we'd follow suit. But sadly, what I think we're seeing here is a social contagion and Marxism. But two, there's a terrible, insidious profit motive, I think. From a lot of children's hospitals, I'm sorry to say, that are making a great deal of money from advocating surgeries on minor children. So it's a fight we've got to have, and we've got to stand firm on, no doubt.
Mm-hmm. Folks, we're speaking to Chris DeGaulle. He's with the Herzog Foundation. He's got an awesome podcast. It's going to feature Kirk Cameron. It's going to be released tomorrow. Making the Leap. Check it all out at ChrisDeGaulle.com, HerzogFoundation.com as well. Chris, I understand, and you may be doing this as you're speaking with us, you're going to be heading to Omaha this week to join something that I didn't know was occurring, but Chris and I are very happy it is occurring, the Take Back Title IX Summer Bus Tour. Do tell what that's all about.
This is so cool. The Independent Women's Forum, which is a tremendous women's group who advocates for women, believe it or not, there are still groups, true feminists who believe women make the best women, not men make the best women. And they've organized a bus tour with some of the most amazing warriors on this front. Riley Gaines, Paula Scanlon, even, get this, guys, noted leftist Martina Navratilova is part of this trip.
Whoa.
Yeah. And the one thing, and this is what's going to be so interesting about this election cycle, guys, and I don't know, I'm not making any predictions, but when you've got people like Martina Navratilova, who are hard left on every issue, but come together with people like Ted Cruz, you know, and Donald Trump on this issue, that is keeping men out of women's sports, I don't know. I don't want to be Pollyanna about it, but that could be a sea change this year. So these women are on this bus tour. They're stopping in various cities. And yes, so we're on the road to Omaha, actually, to interview a few of those ladies. They take turns. They launched in Scranton, Pennsylvania, and they're going all in Montana. They've got a whole laundry list of dates on their website. So, we're going to go up and interview a couple of these ladies, and they've had great turnout so far, as I understand it, throughout the month of June. And you can find their entire bus tour date on the website.
Oh, fantastic.
I'm speaking with Chris DeGaulle, member of the Herzog Foundation and host of the podcast Making the Leap. Chris, as you know, there have been a couple of religious freedom cases in the Supreme Court the last couple of terms, which have seemed to religious rights. That's what I'm trying to say. There was a case out of Kentucky about this kid got his diploma 5 days after he graduated high school. He was being punished because during his commencement speech, he encouraged his classmates to seek Christ. And so in retaliation, they gave him his diploma 5 days after the graduation.
Mm. Yeah, what a horrible message. You know, heaven forbid you talk about the hope of Christ, but if you'd like to talk with a minor child about lopping off their appendages and trying to become a different gender, well, that's hunky-dory. I mean, it's a perverse time. I will say, here's a positive story that The Lion just recently wrote. The women's softball team at Oklahoma, the Sooners, they won a second championship, and it's a beautiful story about how they wear their faith on their sleeve, unapologetically, prayerful throughout the tournament, and again, won a great tournament this year. And the importance of solidarity and their faith and their show of faith publicly on the campus of Oklahoma. It's nice to see that that's still going on. So for every story that maybe you see like that one in Kentucky, there are still some great stories like that found in Oklahoma. Thank goodness.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Chris, another interesting story that caught my attention, because the RNC National Convention will be there this summer, next month, in fact. A story regarding Milwaukee. And so Wisconsin, Milwaukee and Wisconsin are definitely going to be in the spotlight next month. And Wisconsin is still very much considered a swing state. And this is something that those who favor school choice can point out as one of the reasons for that, right? Milwaukee's public schools financial crisis is spiraling out of control. Well, Chris, it's good to see that misery loves company, and this is not just confined to situations here in Missouri. How bad is it in Milwaukee, and what is going on there, and why is it so out of control?
You know, can I tell you that, and I don't have all the particular financials about why Milwaukee struggles the way it does, but I can tell you this, that when I joined the Herzog Foundation, our first stop was obviously in Loudoun County, Virginia, which was sort of the epicenter of the school choice fight.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And our second stop, when we were traveling to introduce ourselves to parents, and the most rabid support for school choice that I've seen, oddly, was Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Hmm.
And I say oddly only because I hadn't really considered Milwaukee a hotbed of school choice necessarily. But boy, you get up there, and that is a troubled district, like so many, from Kansas City to St. Louis to Philadelphia. It's descending into utter chaos, and the school choice movement in Wisconsin is staggeringly strong. In fact, they had a Senate candidate up there, or I'm sorry, a gubernatorial candidate, who ran on this, and now he narrowly lost, but he beat out a really competitive primary running on school choice, and won that primary. So I will tell you, keep a sharp eye on Wisconsin. You're right to point it out, Tim. I think this issue in Wisconsin is massive, and it's fortuitous that the Republicans have chose that as their backdrop this year.
Chris, you were very right about that. I was doing some school choice work back in 2020 in South Carolina, and I ended up meeting a gentleman. He's retired now. He was a black professor at the University of Wisconsin, who was very, and he was liberal, but he was very, very strong in the pro-choice movement when it comes to education. Didn't care about what his liberal friends said. He knew that these kids were in these bad schools and that we were doing them wrong by that. So, yeah, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, you would not think that, but it is kind of a hotbed. I got I want you to comment on this. It's not really a question, but I was reading some research from George Barna. He said the average child's worldview is in place by age 13. Can you comment on that in pertaining to what these kids are facing today?
Yeah, boy. My comment as a believer, as a Christian, and I certainly, you know, I never mean to push that or evangelize, but I will say that if you are a believer, if you come from a faith background, that should, you know, throw cold water directly in your face. One, it shows you how impressionable kids can be, but two, the impact of a proper Christian education, be that homeschool, be that a private Christian institution, when you teach the foundational principles and that all come and center from God and the Word of God and Scripture, boy, I mean, you can plant that seed and change a kid's life by a very, very young age. But it's a banner that hangs in my daughter's Christian school. Whoever wants the next generation the most will get them. And we know that the American left desperately, desperately wants to sink their teeth into our kids, and younger and younger and younger. The drag time story hours, the disgusting books in our schools at elementary school level, they just know no depths. So that study does not shock me, and it lends credibility to why they are so aggressive at going at our youngest kids. So it is an epic battle.
It is indeed. HerzogFoundation.com is where you can find some great information on all the work they're doing to advance Christian education and so much more. You can follow Chris DeGaulle and his travels all across the heartland at ChrisDeGaulle.com. ReedLion.com for many of the items we discussed today. Chris, have a great time on the summer bus tour, and you'll have to bring us back stories from Omaha.
Who's the guy?
Yeah, and tomorrow, all you 80s mothers out there, just, you know, hunky heartthrob Chris DeGaulle along with that dud Kirk Cameron tomorrow.
There you go.
Chris, who was the guy that used to do the lifestyles of the rich and famous? What was that guy's name?
Oh, Robin Leach.
Yeah, can you do a Robin Leach accent since you're hanging out with the rich and famous and the stars?
Champagne dreams and caviar wishes.
That's good. Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, on cue. Chris, safe travels.
I'm very wealthy.
Safe travels, and thanks for everything.
Thanks, fellas. Always a pleasure.
All right.
He's great, and he's fun.
He is. Joey, I know you've got that cut.
Fun to chat with. Fun
I
to play
know
with.
It.
That happened 10 seconds ago.
But that's how good you are. Yeah, I know you've got it already.
Just like that, we've had so much fun that it's 5:45 in the p.m. Larry Connors, USA, up at 6:05, as he is every evening here Monday through Friday. Chris has got all of the items that Larry's going to be entertaining and informing you with this evening. When we come back, we'll make sure you didn't miss anything. We'll give you everything you need to know before we hand you off to Larry as the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show rolls on here at 101.9 94.1. This is News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Frustrated residents feel this process, this cleanup process in our area, is going entirely too slow. At this point, it's expected that the Army Corps of Engineers will be finished cleaning up all of this nuclear waste in 2038.
Once the meeting got underway inside, a moment many had waited for, as the commander of the Army Corps' St. Louis District made a concession.
First off, yes, we were wrong in some of the things we communicated, and I do apologize to you for that. Let's stand up if we did something wrong and say it and move on.
Funding for the cleanup has gone up in the last 10 years from $11 million to roughly $40 million.
5:50 on the Tim Jones and Chris Arb Show. Tim, Joey, did I hear that correctly, that they said that this contamination cleanup will be done in 2038?
Mm-hmm. That's cities? How many years from now?
Well,
can't even count that high.
Well, I'm confused by that because I actually had this in my stack of stories the last couple of days.
14 years.
The Post-Dispatch reported that Wednesday, the Corps of Engineers had a public meeting to announce, quote, the successful completion of work to remove radioactively contaminated soil near the school.
Okay.
The agency said last week it had excavated 7,400 cubic yards of contaminated soil from Coldwater Creek Bank along Janna Drive, enough to fill more than two Olympic-sized swimming pools. Some of the contamination extended 14 feet below the ground surface. So, Post-Dispatch is reporting that the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers said this is cleaned up, we're all good to go. But that report says they're still going to be working for the next 14 years.
Maybe it's a government contract.
I guess
maybe
so.
I should say, we know it's a government contract. Maybe we should say that's how government contracts work. It's either been done now, or we're going to work on it and check things out for another 14 years.
Yeah, I think the contractor's like, dear, I think I found a way to put the kids through college.
Yeah,
so we're going to be working on this for 14 years.
We told you it was all done, but, you know, we just want to make sure. We're just going to monitor it for the next 14 years.
Crazy.
I have no idea, Chris, how you rectify. I mean, that's a big span of time.
Yeah. And
zero versus 14.
And my brain says, if this is going to take 14 years to clean up, then what about the houses that are around that area? It seems like they are in pretty bad, a very contaminated area.
There's nothing to say here.
If next door, it's going to take us 15 years to clean this up, but if you live next door to this, everything's okay. Don't worry.
What was the fish from The Simpsons? Blinky? It was Blinky the Three-Eyed Fish.
Exactly.
Just ignore Blinky the Three-Eyed Fish. Yeah.
Tim, I want to get your thoughts on this because you still have a daughter in high school. You have a daughter that just graduated high school.
Mm-hmm.
Clayton parents are pushing for a ban on cell phones in schools. I know a lot of parents want their children to have cell phones so they can get a hold of them in case there's some type of emergency or a school shooting. This came about, now this is weird to me, this came about on a recent field trip. Most Wydown middle school students were staring at their cell phones during the entire bus ride. One parent said, everybody was independently doing their own thing. School bus trips used to be fun and wild. Well, if the kids are looking at their phones while they're on the bus during school, aren't they probably doing this same exact thing at home, not paying attention to their parents? So why all of a sudden, you know, this is learned behavior that they're bringing to school, mm-hmm. but is they're doing it all the time outside of school? Your thoughts, should cell phones be banned at schools?
I think they should. I think they should be allowed to have the phones. But here's what I would say they need to do with the phones. When you walk into the classroom, unless you're using the phone for something that the class mm-hmm. demands, like maybe your calculator, or maybe you're having to look something up on the internet. And look, I do a lot of work. I actually do a lot of work now on my phone. Today I had a meeting and I keep all my notes on my phone and keep track of things. So if you're using it, fine. If there's no reason for the phone during the class, Chris, well, I think you, when you come into the classroom, you deposit your phone in a little cupboard or a cubbyhole or a basket. Same thing with a bus, right? And if you're at school and there's an emergency, they can call the school and get somebody immediately to the classroom, right? Yeah. You know where the child is. So I would say during school, unless you're using the phone for learning, I think the phone is a incredible distraction and needs to be put in the basket.
I agree with that 100%.
That would be a way to, that way they can still have their phone, and if there's an emergency, fine. But, you know, you do need to eliminate distractions in the classroom, right?
This is something, Joey, pay attention to this, sir, because this pertains to entertainment. I'm sure you have a thought on this.
Sure, and he knows it all.
And I was kind of involved with this a little bit. My friend worked on this issue a few years ago, but the Justice Department and several state attorneys general intend to file an antitrust suit against Live Nation Ticketmaster to break up the entertainment behemoth. The case will focus on its control of the concert ticket business. I had a friend of mine who worked for an alternative ticket agency group that was taking on live or whatever Ticketmaster, and I learned a great deal about how this works, which surprised me. You know, because all of us, they're trying to get rid of paper tickets. They want you to download everything onto your phone, which is supposed to be convenient for us. But the caveat with that is when you have these tickets on your phone, you know how it used to be like, hey Tim, I can't go to the game today. Here, you want to buy my ticket or I'll give it to you? No, Ticketmaster has, you have to sell your ticket back to them first. You can't just transfer it to like something, a monopoly or something.
I don't like that at all.
So there was a friend of mine, they were working on a trade group to try to break up that monopoly because you have to sell your ticket back to them. You
With Cardinals tickets, Chris, you can just transfer them to someone and you give them. And you know what's cool about the way the Cardinals have this? And you know what? I'm sure it's Major League Baseball.
Sure.
It's the Major League Baseball app. You can actually, if you make a mistake or somebody says, hey, I can't go to the game, you can recall the tickets. Right. Like you always have possession of ownership on that. That's a great use of the tool. But Ticketmaster's
like, no.
For the love.
Because then they want you have to sell it back to them.
Drive me nuts.
And then here's the thing about, if you sell the ticket back to them, they're not going to give you the full face value for it. They take a little
cut.
So you can see why these AGs and people are suing Ticketmaster. But a good friend of mine worked on an issue fighting them. Joey, what's your thought on that?
Well, I know a big part of the monopoly is that they own the venues and the ticket company. So, for example, we got the amphitheater out here. That's a Live Nation venue, and you can only have bands that are willing to use Ticketmaster to sell tickets. So a band that hates that stuff, like Pearl Jam, they'll refuse to play at the amphitheater. They'll go somewhere else.
Yeah, well, hopefully they can break that up because, you know, concerts aren't exactly cheap.
Mm-hmm. So they can charge whatever they want.
Exactly. Larry Connors, USA, is up next, 6 to 8. Larry's going to ask, why are Russian Navy ships in Cuban waters? He's going to ask how leftist media is spinning Hunter's conviction and the woman who led the fight so you could have to wear masks on planes during COVID. We'll talk to her. You're listening to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show on 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. Drive safe and have a great evening. Please,
baby. For podcast articles and more, find us on NewsTalkSTL.com.